Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Lots to talk about today and no guests. So let me remind folks, if you want to call in, it's 888-627-8008. Is it 827 or 837? Oh, look. Well, anyway,
one of
the hosts. And if you're on Zoom, go ahead and you can put the comments in chat, or you can raise your hand and comment that way too.
Why don't you figure out what the number is?
All right, you
keep
talking while
I'll keep talking. So Julie finally figures out what the number is for calling in, but we're going to have a great discussion. You were close. See, not bad.
Close.
That's not
actually
bad.
Not really.
Kind of like hand grenades, you know?
That was my old house phone number. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. At the 888-627-6008. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008.
Or call Julie's old home number.
Yeah, really. And I'll quit drinking before the show. So we have only said that number 8 million times. One of the first things, we'll get to all the court stuff going on. A lot of stuff happening in the courts, really, regarding Donald Trump. It's the last day. Yeah, Jacob says they have the number seared into my memory. A last day of the session at the Colorado legislature. But wanted to start off with, you know, just when you think Denver could not get any more insane, they've had what, some tens of thousands of illegal immigrants come into the city.
70,000.
They've had to cut services to city residents. They had to trim the budget, defund the police, all to pay for these people because
we don't need those guys.
None of that. So citizens don't matter anymore.
Okay.
So there has been a huge encampment.
Where is the encampment?
Well, they're all over the place. This one, I think, I'm not sure where this one is. They say it will play a little clip where it says it. Well, I mean, like,
say hello to the newcomers. Welcome.
I would not go there if I were you. I don't think it's very safe. I mean, you look at some of the encampments in 8th and Navajo, but this is particularly an illegal immigrant encampment, an illegal encampment by illegal immigrants, by the way.
Newcomers that you need to welcome.
And the city has been telling them that they have to leave. And
they can only stay, what, how many weeks?
30 days or something like
days.
That.
Okay.
Well, they have to leave this illegal encampment. They can stay in a shelter for 30 days. And
how long can you stand in an illegal encampment?
Well, it depends on if you're in a city, say in Florida, you can't.
Oh.
Right? But if you're in a city like
Denver, a humane, giving, caring one.
If you're in Denver, it's till the politics of the situation make the mayor move you and just scoot you over to the old illegal encampment. But the illegal immigrants, you'll be glad to know, have had enough, and they're not taking any more from stupid Mayor Johnson, and they have issued a list of demands.
And you'll be impressed by how articulate these people are.
Yes.
It's very well done, considering this is their second language, and some don't even speak it at all. So this is an impressive list.
This is an impressive list of demands that I don't know if they formed a committee,
Democratic committee. The best. They just tried to get everybody's mind into it and select the best ones.
And when they weren't squeegeeing, they took time off to go ahead and do this.
Lift it up.
And
give us some of those babies.
And they they refused to leave until the city of Denver meets their demands. So Thomas, if we could please play the illegal demands video. Tape.
Oh, good.
The camp as a collective came up with a list of demands.
That came after a petition by city officials for migrants to move from this encampment near train tracks under a bridge to indoor shelters funded by the city.
This morning they sent buses to take people over without presenting that document. And without having any kind of signature for accountability.
That's what migrant advocate V. Reeves says the city responded with instead of meeting the migrants' demands.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't meet that. So now I will show you.
She looked very, very Hispanic or South American herself, didn't she?
She's from a well-funded NGO organization.
Well,
and, and they go on to talk about the migrants have been complaining about the food that Denver has been sending over, the free food. Now, of course, they could go home, to their own country if they are so unhappy with our country.
Well, just asking for some improvement.
But let's put up the demands. Thomas, if we could please put up the illegal demand screenshot, please. If we have that. Oh, maybe we can't. Okay. And while he finds it, I sent everything. Oh, okay. That would be operator error. He said he didn't get a screenshot. I thought I attached it, but never mind. I will read them for you.
It's same with the numbers. Same place at the...
he says he did. Okay. If he can get up, I'll start going through them though. So some of the demands are migrants will cook their own food with fresh, culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city. Yep. No pre-made meals. Mm-hmm. These fresh, appropriate, culturally appropriate ingredients include rice, chicken, flour, oil, butter, tomatoes, etc. Also, people will not be punished for bringing in and eating outside food. Okay, so my number one question is, if they can get outside food, why do they need the city to give them with culturally appropriate?
It's not easy to get culturally appropriated food. You got to go to a lot of different places in Denver.
Second demand. Okay, here we go. There we go. Second demand. Shower access will be available without time limits and can be accessed whenever. Now, I'm not sure what that means because I mean, most homeless encampments don't have showers. Medical professional visits will happen regularly, and referrals, connections for specialty care will be made as needed.
I'd like that one over here in Westminster.
No, none of the citizens. Now, if you're a citizen, you can forget this. Okay. Yes. Never mind that the Denver Health Medical Center says it's on the verge of going bankrupt.
They're always complaining. Because they're always saying they're about to go bankrupt. They never do go bankrupt. Well, so no, why should we listen to
them? Complaining about the huge influx of the illegal immigrants, none of whom have insurance.
And they also said they don't want any.
No, they're not.
They don't want any doctors from India treating them. They said, no, we're not going to do Indian doctors. You're not going to do that to us.
And apparently this will be free medical visits.
I know, but no Indian doctors.
All will receive the same housing support that's been offered to others. Yeah. They cannot kick people out in 30 days without something stable established. There needs to be a clear, just process before exiting someone for any reason, including verbal, written, and final warnings. So I guess what that means is if you kill someone in the encampment or you're selling drugs or sex trafficking children, you need a just process. Not clear what that is.
Yeah.
All shelter residents will receive connection to employment support, including work permit applications for those who qualify. Perfect. And Chuck, I'll let you explain this one after I read it. Consultations for each person/family with a free immigration lawyer must be arranged to discuss progress on their cases. And then the city will provide ongoing legal support in the form of immigration document clinics, including transportation to relevant court dates.
Excellent.
And I think there are other demands, but these are the main thing.
Is that it?
I think there are other ones, but I didn't have screenshots of them. So Chuck,
That's very modest. They traveled a long way to get here. They sacrificed, and we can. And by the way, as Vera said, this is a collective. This is a collective thing. And so everybody got together. It's some kind of rally, and then they voted on these things or something. But it's a collective.
They each submitted in writing their petitions. Well, no, I mean, as you pointed out, the whole thing. This was written by
Vera.
No, it was written by immigration lawyers.
Yeah, well, that's what Vera is.
No, she's V. Just V is her name. This was written by immigration lawyers to benefit themselves, right? So there's no mention of who's going to pay for this. Do they deserve it?
You can't worry about those things. You know, we're a rich country. We can afford to be generous and outgoing.
And, you know, and here's the thing from Sandra is F them. And then James says, do they want free knives to cut our throats with? Yes. Here's part of the problem I have with this.
What's your problem with it?
My guess is probably 60% of the immigrants in that encampment had no idea that they had made a list of demands to the city.
60%?
I would say maybe 90%.
99%.
Had no idea that they'd made a list of demands.
As a collective.
This is made by a bunch of NGO lawyers hoping to make a buck, maybe some doctors thrown in there. And, you know, the sad thing is, because you're right, the backlash will be against the immigrants. Completely undeserved.
Not the newcomers.
Your immediate impression is that, okay, these people are so entitled, it's disgusting. Right?
Well, that shows in advance. They're coming here with advanced American values.
But wouldn't you agree? I bet most of them had no idea that a list of demands had been made to the city on their behalf.
Back in the old Soviet Union, you know, the collective would make the decision. Who the collective was a little vague, but it's the collective.
And it seems to me, again, it's like these people break the law. They broke the law coming here. They break the law illegal encampment within the illegal encampment. Then they want all these demands. It's kind of like the pro-Hamas students who want them to send in vegan food and water. And the one girl, she's like, I mean, you saw her, right? She's like, you know, she's like, I'm shaking. I'm so dehydrated.
Humanitarian relief. These people need humanitarian.
You know, and here's the thing. My guess is the city will comply with some of it. They just
comply with all of it. And then we'll have another list.
Right, exactly.
Mr. Johnson, our mayor, is not going to deny these wonderful people. He's welcome to our city. It's a sanctuary city. We asked him to come here, and we can do a few things for him to make him feel welcome.
From Thomas, they said the streets are made of gold here. That's true.
Yeah.
And then from Leo Chuck, when I illegally walk into your country club, I will say I'm just a newcomer.
Well, that's right. My country club ought to open a whole 9 holes for those guys. They need exercise.
They need a demand.
Yeah, well, maybe a 3-hole.
And then they need clubs.
Probably
need
some
lessons.
All golfers, you know. Golf isn't just a United States thing.
That's culturally inappropriate to suggest that. I mean, on the one hand, it is so ridiculous. And yet, on the other hand, it is... It's hard to even fathom that this is happening, right?
Well, thank God. What channel was that?
All of them. Everybody covered it. That was some channel, Fox 31.
Okay, good for you, Fox. You got V on there to tell us about it.
Well, I mean, they covered it, and I think the reporters, I will say this, the ones I saw did play it straight, right? They just said, here,
well, yeah. Listen to this one.
I know. From Charlene, I wouldn't be surprised if the NGOs didn't pull them from their homes and force them to come here. But yeah, I mean, the NGOs continue to make money. And you're right, if this was a list of demands, you could, of course, have a Spanish-speaking person, or Chinese, whatever, wherever they're from, and then you could have a translator. V could have translated for them, right? But
V doesn't speak Spanish, per se.
Yeah, probably she doesn't. She's just an intern.
That's why she had to deal with the collective and decide with the collective, because there's no person she could talk to.
But again,
and understand
the insanity of Denver. You know, we've talked
about insanity, the beauty, the cultural.
And they wonder why no one wants to go downtown. You know, we've talked before. We have a guy who works with us at the newspaper who has to go out of his way, take a different route to work because of the squeegee people at Colfax in Colorado. He's a bigot. You know, you got to wonder, at what point does the city, here's the thing. Keep in mind, they want to be destroyed. The Mayor Johnston, who wants to be Governor Johnson, wants Denver to be destroyed. They want the country to be destroyed.
Demonstrate what he can do for the state.
Right.
To the state.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you elect me statewide, I will have this happen here. So number one, they want that to happen. So they're not going to back down. The only thing that will change is when the people of Denver start going, wait, what? They're like, I can't use my rec center, but we have to, that we give them culturally appropriate free food to cook with. Because now, and what are they going to cook with it on, right? They're obviously going to have...
Well, you're going to have to put in some, you know...
Kitchens.
You don't want, you know, as they say, if you want to take somebody and make them free, you don't give them the fish, you teach them how to fish.
Oh.
So these people will have to teach them how to cook.
They know how to cook.
They just can't use gas.
Jacob says, I am shocked that they didn't request new spray bottles and squeegees daily.
Yes,
and then Charlene, get the spare bedrooms ready. Well, yeah, Charlene, here's the thing.
Oh, you can call in right now.
You can call 211.
We should call right now.
Yeah, and say, hey, we want it, because the city of Denver is asking people to host illegals for them.
Not saying illegals.
They're illegals.
Newcomers.
They're newcomers. So let's just run the scenario by. So let's say you're a well-meaning, stupid person in Denver, and you're like...
Stupid liberal.
And say, I want to host an illegal family in my house, right?
Newcomer.
So the next thing that comes up with, they'll be there 2 days, and they're going to come to you with this list of demands, right? They're going to come to you worse than any...
And by the way, just so you are not surprised with this, they're not leaving.
No, they're not.
Once they come over to your house, they are staying.
You need to.
You can move out.
Yeah,
baby.
From Thomas, a new demand update. We demand that culturally styled Gordon Ramsay quality kitchens to cook our fresh food. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And then from Leo, did you see the fat chick that was leading the hunger strike for Gaza? Yes, I've seen some of those.
Oh.
But she had to take a break. But again, would you, if you do I mean, only an idiot would say, okay, we'll have illegals in our house because they come with a list of demands.
This is a Darwin test for them.
So, yeah.
This is a Darwin test.
How easy will it be for our deception?
So there's two kind of people who are going to do two on one. One is a stupid, you know, good intentioned liberal, and you know, she's a,
and then they're going to turn into squatters, but okay,
yeah, yeah, and then they'll beat them up and everything else. The other is going to exploit them, right? So, oh, I can take any 15 or 16, 17 year old Hispanic girl, and we can have some fun with them. And
my God,
I have some labor that I need, and they will be shackled during their time at my house.
That's a good point. I mean, this is a no-win for anyone, except Mayor Johnson, who gets the virtue signal.
Oh, no, it'll be one of the two. I mean, some real ghoulish people will be calling up saying, I want a couple of slaves, please.
And then they're going to call up that Venezuelan influencer who was telling people how to do the squatting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, he got arrested, so maybe
he'll be out.
He's going to demand a cell phone. But that's what will happen too, right? You bring him into your house. Now you're going to just say, well, we live here now. And
they do live here now,
and you can't get rid of them. And
then they'll come downstairs, and you'll have like cereal or something. They'll go, that's not culturally appropriate. We don't have Cheerios or something in the morning. We like to have eggs. And so
steak. Steak is our culture.
Here's a menu to meet our
culturally appropriate food.
Our minimum demands. And by the way, we don't technically have a license.
Yeah, but from Thomas, Wagyu beef from Leo. LOL, I have 3 young daughters. I'll let an illegal sex offender stay with me for free.
Yes, he'll be able to impregnate them all.
Yeah, and then Charlene, they'll all be doing housework and laundry for them without pay. And Chuck, you're absolutely right. There are two scenarios here.
Yes.
There's going to be one scenario in which the illegals take absolute advantage of and control over the stupid liberals who let it stay there.
Right.
Or you're going to have the clever, evil liberals who are going to take complete and total control of the illegals.
Illegal. They'll be working downstairs in the saw shop.
Well, I mean, we've seen that. Remember going back to the Hama, what's his name? El Turkey. Right?
Turkey.
They would bring in people who could stay with them from Saudi Arabia.
That's right.
Only they were essentially forced to sleep on a mattress in the basement.
Yeah.
And they were slaves. Yeah, right.
Well, so, maybe Al Turkey could come by and host them.
Yeah.
Al Turkey, if you can get Al Turkey out, he'll host a couple families.
And then Leo says, Char, where do I bring my laundry? I mean, it's such a stupid idea.
Julie, you're such a cynic.
And then these
come
this
on,
demand,
let's give it a like, chance. Give it a chance.
At what?
Let's make this work. As Angela Merkel said, we can do this.
At what point, Jacob, I see you got your hand raised, so just let me, at what point, if any, do you think the people of Denver say enough is enough? I cannot go to my rec center. I don't get a free shower. I don't get free medical care. I have to pay for my kitchen. I don't get people driving me back and forth when I commit a crime. I don't get free legal consultation. What's wrong with the public defenders, by the way? I don't have government rides back and forth. At what point, if ever, do you think the people of the city of Denver say enough is enough?
I can tell you when. Exact same time the people in California say enough is enough. As you have an upcoming election, I like to watch the Donald Trump things where he's ahead behind California, -34%. And it's just California is becoming more Democratic, not less, more. And so we here in Denver become even more, as miserable as California has become for a lot of people to live in, they are not doing anything bad. There's no kind of like, all right, we've had enough. No more of this crap, you know? No more of this climate garbage. We're not doing it. No, they say we need more climate garbage. We need more illegals. We need more democratic good old policies that Uncle Sam can provide. No, this is the people of Denver are mature and give.
They have heart. They have a big heart.
They have these big hearts.
Right.
And
here's what's going to happen to them, Charlene. You're absolutely right. They'll be put in jail if they don't do the illegals' laundry. They'll cry substandard living conditions and some kind of hate law violation. We must be outgoing, like Chuck said.
See, we have all these great listeners and viewers, Julie. You're kind of giving this semi Nazi-like rendition here, but we've got some good people here that listen to Chuck and Julie.
I wonder what think they would. And where's, well, again, we know where all this money is coming from, us, right?
Well, where else do you want it to come from? I mean, my God, we're a rich country. And
streets are made of gold.
Streets are made of gold. And the people are incredibly stupid. I
mean, yeah.
You won't believe how dumb these people in America are.
Well, they're going to
say. They are spectacular. They wouldn't survive 2 weeks in Colombia.
No. So they're going to start coming up with pre-printed list of demands, right? That they could just hand to the people immediately, so they don't even have to bother with their collective meetings.
Well, maybe their sponsors can help them with the list of demands. Right. No, you need more of this here.
Yeah,
you,
Sandra says,
you
guess
need
the illegals.
Three rounds of golf every week.
Sandra says, guess the illegals need to be dropped off on Monaco Street, Cherry Hills, Greenwood Village. Yeah, that's why I think, goodness, a lot of counties are coming to their senses and are suing the city, suing the state for not allowing them to use their sanctuary.
Luckily, Lakewood is welcome. They want to take more than they get, so they can. I hope that Lakewood will agree ahead of time.
Well, yeah, to get
to these demands.
Start stocking up on the culturally appropriate food,
because
you're going to need to be handed that out.
Fresh. They want some fresh stuff. They're not taking any of this.
Yeah. Oh, there's some Thomas. You wouldn't believe it that the nuclear bomb was made in this country, although technically it was immigrants that made it. Yeah, hold on. True. Maybe they were onto something. That's true. All right, Jacob has his hand raised. Hey, Jacob.
All this happened in 1965. It was called the Great Society, and if you remember, Johnson said after the bill passed that he says now we got a voting block for the next 50 years.
Yeah.
But in the end, he destroyed the whole nuclear family of the black community, and that's what's going to happen.
That's what he wanted to do the whole time. He knew it. Yeah. He's a racist.
Yeah. Well,
But that's what's going to happen now.
They don't even need to worry about. All they're doing is getting names, right? So they don't even have to actually worry, I believe, in trying to track these people down and send them ballots, because they're not going to be here, right? They're just going to, like Jenna Griswold, accidentally, with the glitch, send out postcards to 30,000 illegal immigrants urging them to vote.
70,000.
Urging them to vote, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, they do have a voting block, although these people, just like I suspect many of them didn't know they made a list of demands, I suspect many of them will also not know that they're voting. But
they voted.
Yeah.
They don't need to know.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Jacob, thanks. Thank you. And Charlene, did I hear you? Did I hear somebody else who wanted to talk? No? Okay. If not, just go ahead and raise your hand or go ahead and come on in. Well,
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Charlene. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. What he was saying is that these people don't really even need to vote. They've got prepared us, predictively programmed us for the thought that they would be voting. So now they just push buttons. They don't even have to fill out a ballot, or they'll have someone there at the voting precinct.
Good point. No.
Yeah. But also, I just want to tell you, there's this thing on Saks Realty. It's a real estate show where they have these security firms now. If someone is squatting in your house, that they will hire someone to go and squat with them and make their life so unbearable while they're living in your house forces the other person, the squatter, to leave.
So an anti-squatter. That's great.
Yeah. It's like a co-squatter, but you're paying the co-squatter to make it so unbearable for the person living there. They don't want to live there anymore.
And again, just to point out, that's crazy, right? I mean, it's crazy that we've come to that. No, it's a great idea. It's crazy that we've come to that where, like, if you go on vacation, let's say you said, I'm going to be a kind person. I'm going to let these illegal immigrants live in my house. I've stacked the refrigerator with culturally appropriate food. Now I'm going to go off on vacation. And you come back, and now they've got their entire family from living there.
Exactly.
You've got to pay. Well,
all the guys are watching porn channels on your thing. We need more of the Playboy channel here.
Yeah, and these squatters have to leave, to go get groceries or whatever. And so what these people do that you're paying to be squatters with them, they'll put the lock on the door when they leave. And they're just kind of like living there to monitor. But it's their way of moving them out, because you really have to take them to court to move them out.
Right.
Take 6 weeks.
They need due process.
Right. And I think a lot of states are moving, even New York is moving to change the squatter laws. Right.
That's brilliant.
Let me, Charlene, ask you, do you think the people of Denver are ever going to have the moral fortitude to speak up, or are they just going to, the ones who care, just move someplace else? Or, I mean, does it ever end?
Oh, well, you know what I think, and, you know, someone once asked Peter Boyles if he had ever saw the program, High Man in the Castle. It was, Denver was a regional area to introduce communism into the United States. And it, you know, it was fiction, but, you know, I'm kind of thinking that Denver is kind of like, you know, ground zero for introducing all these things into this region, region anyway, and that people are tolerating it. And so they're going to get away with it. I mean, that's kind of what I think. I don't think the people are awake, but they really can't do anything about it.
We're going to call 211 and give him your number.
We just have to laugh because it's just unbelievable.
Would that be a great way to really, you know, to dock somebody?
Random.
Just pretend you're, oh, I'm at the 1212.
Oh, gosh. Don't
send them over, will you?
I have all the. We lose him. No, that's
the illegal aliens that grabbed her.
She's right. Yeah, I think that there could be something to that. We do know that Denver is, you know, the blueprint Colorado has been implemented nationally, right? The election fraud laws that have come into place in Colorado implemented nationally.
Yeah.
Denver is indeed, I think, a sort of ground zero, sort of an experiment to see how much will people take. If you're the mayor, you know, the mayor now kind of what he does, he'll engage with the illegals. But I've talked before about this great Twitter website, and it's on Instagram too, Do Better Denver.
Oh, yeah.
They just drive around the city and they show all the horrible, the drug use, the open air drug market. They were showing stuff
like an anti-Chamber of Commerce.
They're showing there's three adults there. They're openly doing drugs, and there's a baby crawling on the sidewalk next to a busy street, right?
Well, you know, kids running around, that baby's got to learn how to be tough.
And Mike Johnson, they keep sending this to Mike Johnson, and he's just like, I'm not going to talk about some random anonymous website. But if you're an illegal alien and you want to present this list of demands, by God,
yeah,
you know, you could, then they'll get right on that. So, but that's the ridiculousness. Now onto better news.
Oh, what's better news? Oh, well, the good news.
Juan, and we can, if people, if you have comments.
The people in Gaza are dying by the thousands, and the Ukrainians are butchered by the Russians. On to more good news.
I was going to talk about the Trump court cases. A lot.
That's a good news, huh?
Well, some of it is good news. A lot going on. So Stormy Daniels took the stand yesterday.
I mean, you know, you have these pictures of Stormy. They flash on the screen. That's the old Stormy.
Yeah.
The new Stormy looks like she could be in an encampment.
Right. Or came from one. And even the courtroom artist is not doing a very nice job.
No.
She looks kind of crazed and gave this completely salacious account of this encounter that Donald Trump says never occurred. And what's interesting about that is all of the legal experts that I, even the liberal ones, note that this is the kind of testimony that actually, she didn't say a word about the alleged false documents or business records or anything like that. In fact, she didn't even know anything about it. They didn't even ask her about it. But this is...
They asked her about the Access Hollywood tape and her impression to it. Because that's key, right?
Right.
Why would you not allow that in? I mean, have to be able to, you know, question people about what they think.
But what is interesting is, or hopeful, is that the New York Court of Appeals throughout the Harvey Weinstein conviction, because evidence like this was admitted in, that had nothing to do with it.
He was a good liberal.
That's true. But that's interesting. But apparently, in spite of everyone's best efforts, she did not do all that well on the stand.
Apparently, her lawyers gave her some jokes. Or somebody gave her
right. We'll get to that in a second. But Greg Jarrett from Fox did, I think, a good job kind of breaking down her testimony. And again, the fact that why is she even on the stand? So, Thomas, if we could please play the Greg Jarrett soundbite.
Stormy Daniels was called to the witness stand for only one purpose, Sean, to slime Trump. But she's peddled so many conflicting stories. You know, you get whiplash on cross-examination, though. She withered. She was confronted with hard evidence that her motive was greed, hatred of Trump. So, you know, hopefully jurors saw her for what she is, a shakedown artist. It's her livelihood. And at one point, she unbelievably claimed, I don't care about the money. only making my story public. Well, if that's true, why did you agree to remain silent in exchange for big bags of money? She is so clueless, she walked right into it today. And as witnesses go, I'd say she self-destructed. But the professor is right. None of what she had to say today was remotely relevant to any of the charges against Donald Trump. She had no knowledge. Prosecutors put her on the stand to vilify Trump with a salacious story, irrelevant, highly prejudicial, probative of nothing. And that is the legal standard that makes her testimony inadmissible. And any fair judge would not have allowed it. Unfortunately for Donald Trump, he's stuck with Juan Marchand as the judge.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, the judge, and that's the trouble here, can do whatever he wants, right? And I'll play some other sound bites and then kind of talk about my concerns about it. But
Your concerns, okay.
Well, yeah. One of the things that came out during cross-examination is that she had filed a frivolous lawsuit against Donald Trump and was ordered to pay Donald Trump roughly $500,000.
$586,000.
Of which she has paid zero and apparently admitted on the stand, I hate Donald Trump. I have no intention of paying that. And they're like, well, you have a court order. Are you going to ignore it? And she's like, yes. It's like, well, that seems weird, you know.
Okay.
CNN was not particularly impressed with her. Thomas, if we could please play the CNN soundbite.
The cross exam, boy, her responses were disastrous. I mean, do you hate Donald Trump? Yes, of course she does. That's a big deal. When the witness hates the person whose liberty is at stake, that's a big damn deal. And she's putting out tweets, fantasizing about him being in jail. That really undermines the credibility. The fact that she owes him $500,000, she, by order of a court, owes Donald Trump $500,000 and said, I will never pay him. I will defy a court order. The defense is going to say she's willing to defy a court order. Why? She's not willing to respect an order of a judge. Why is she going to respect this oath she took? So I thought it went quite poorly on cross-exam. At the end of direct, I thought, okay, they got what they needed, but I think the cross is making real inroads.
And again, it depends on how the jurors look at that, but it is interesting. You almost get the impression that even some people in the liberal media are like, okay, this is too far. This is, you know what I mean?
No, Julie.
They're just saying that to make it sound like they're fair?
No, it was just a temporary brain freeze. Okay. They'll get back.
He won't be invited back on the show.
Yeah, no, that's the last time he's on that show.
See the other people on the panel.
Oh, like, man.
They were like, they're like texting, get him off now. No. Yeah, well, yeah. And now you're a lawyer. And as I imagine in a case like this, that probably both the defense and the prosecution did a great deal of witness prep. I imagine she went through her testimony, pretending it was live, you know what I mean, in preparation for this, probably went through cross-examination. And I mean, that's, wouldn't you say in a case like this, that's probably foregone?
Sure.
And how hard do you work at stuff like that?
Well, if you're the prosecution, real hard. She's a key witness and her testimony is important and they thought her jokes would be good. And I can tell you, if you make a joke to a jury and they don't smile, not good.
No. Why would you even, as an attorney, because I'm wondering, because I've covered court cases where you can see the attorneys cringing, saying, oh, my God, I told her, whatever you do, don't say that. And then they say that. Would you say, because we're going to play the joke soundbite here in a second. Would you recommend that a witness, a porn star witness giving salacious details about an alleged affair that Trump denies, like try to win the jury over or something?
Well, they can. I mean, if it was effective, I don't know. You usually have a mock trial. How did it go in the mock trial? I imagine people must have been rolling on the floor.
It did not work in the courtroom. Thomas, we'll get to that in a second. Thomas, if we could please play the Stormy bad jokes soundbite.
Just one thing that I've been sort of noticing as this has gone on is that there have been a couple times where she seems to be cracking a joke, trying to get a reaction from the jury. And our reporters in the room have noted that the jury hasn't seemed to respond to that.
No, they're taking
her
job seriously.
I mean, what do you make of that?
Humor is risky in the courtroom, especially if you go in with lines like it looks like Stormy. If something happens spontaneously, if an easel falls over, people will laugh. They're human. But it's never going to work if you go in there like, I'm going to amuse the jury. I'm going to sort of say this clever thing.
I mean, that's hard to deliver.
That's the same guy they're never going to have on again.
Yeah, right. That was, he was on yesterday. He won't be on today. No. Yeah, those were both from yesterday. Well, now, one thing, though, you pointed out, when you were obsessed with the Johnny Depp trial, and that is that cameras are not allowed in the New York courtrooms. That's why we're seeing the bad courtroom artists mm-hmm. pictures. But we're hearing about this through a filter. Right. And I think on both sides, probably through a pro-Trump filter yes. and through an anti-Trump filter. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? Because it's we may not be actually hearing what the jurors are hearing.
Well, I mean, if any of you watched Kyle Rittenhouse's trial, and I was frozen on that. If you watch the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp trial, I was frozen on that. And there's one other one I can't remember right now. But you would watch, you know, because you couldn't help it. And then you'd watch the news broadcasts the next night and kind of go, that has no validity at all. That has nothing to do with what actually happened in the courtroom. I mean, shockingly so. It was just the only place you'd get an honest reaction is that you'd have these shows that have other people are watching it and they send in their thoughts. And all of them were, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse is innocent.
Right.
Johnny Depp's a great guy. I have no idea from the people in the court, because that's not a big, you know, you had to be somebody special to be able to get in. My vague feeling is that it's going well for Trump. That's my vague feeling. Now, it's also true that it's the people hearing it. I think I told you he used to do a lot of mock trials in law school, and a lot of times you'd play a juror and hear this testimony, and then you go back to the mock room for debating, and all of a sudden you realize that everyone just took it through their own screen of life, and that it was they saw things absolutely opposite that I did, or I was opposite of some of them, and it was just amazing. And then the other thing you have to realize about trials, and it's great to watch people deliberate, and that's one that we had a recent trial a while back in which we had three separate juries.
It was the mock trial.
The mock trial. And just to watch how one or two people dominate, you know, there's a kind of feeling here, and one or two people can just totally change the way the jury's going. So you never know ahead of time necessarily what people are going to be strong.
Well, and
in their
even
beliefs.
In those mock juries that you did, the people, some in one of the cases, am I don't remember correctly, they were fixating on something, and you guys were going like, "What?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What are they? What? Oh, yeah. But that's this much part of the case,
yeah,
right?
No, they fixated in all of it, fixated in things that meant nothing to the trial, but in their mind, it meant a lot. So it meant a lot, and it was just amazing to watch these juries come to a verdict, and it was kind of like the lead strongest people. They convince the others, because usually half the jury is just there. They don't care. And, you know, just let me home.
Yeah. Well, and here's a little, having covered, again, a bazillion trials, I can explain sort of the process. Because, Chuck, you raise a really good point in that, because there's no audio feed either, right? So we're totally relying on the reporters in this case. So here's how it works when you're a reporter. In this case in particular, I think there's only like six or so reporters actually in the courtroom. There's so many other people in the courtroom. Everybody else is in these outside, like, you know, big rooms where the audio is being piped in, right? And I think they can maybe see, there might be an audio feed. Actually, I'm not sure about that. But they're relying, and even then, you only see what the camera is focused on. And the camera clearly can't be focused on the jurors, right? So they're relying, these other reporters, everybody else in the universe who are taking the reports from this, are number one, relying on the observations of just a very small group of people right. in there as in terms of what's actually going on. What are people doing? What is the reaction? What did it look like? You know, were the jurors paying attention? Were the jurors laughing? So that's important to keep in mind. And the other thing is, yeah, there's like, you know, probably five, six hours of testimony every day. And so when you're a reporter, you have, like when I was at Fox, you know, our stories could be a minute 20, right? That was the entire. So you had to, and then you had to pick and choose sort of the most interesting thing, right? And sometimes, you know, the blood spatter pattern evidence was really crucial, but it was just really boring. So you wouldn't do that. You would talk about whatever, you know what I mean? So the whole thing, at first you've got to boil it down to a very, you know, 5 hours into a minute 20. And then you're on top of that, you're picking kind of what you think is the most interesting thing, right?
To entertain your viewers.
Leo was saying Stormy's real name is Stephanie A. Gregory Clifford. Why do they use her AKA? Because it sounds better. And then Charlene says Kamala Harris would have laughed at the jokes. If she got them. Yeah. But I think you're right.
She doesn't need to get them.
In general.
For her life.
Yeah. In general, you do get the sense that this is not, at the very least, not going as slam dunk as the prosecution wrote it. My concern that I said I get to is that these jurors don't care. Right, that these are jurors who know that their lives will be made living hell. They will be doxxed if they find Trump not guilty. Now they may hang, right, and take that as an out. But I just wonder the enormous political, social, cultural pressure being put on them that they may just say screw it, guilty. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you worry about that? You seem to trust jurors in this case more than I would.
Well, because, you know, this is a highly intelligent juror pool. These are people who read the New York Times, listen to NPR. You know, it's all lefty. It's all lefty. But you know, the average dumb Joe doesn't read the New York Times. And two of them are actual lawyers, for better or worse. And I think probably for worse, but for better or worse.
Worse for Trump or worse for the prosecution?
Worse for Trump.
Okay.
Yeah. Depending, you know, one was a DEI attorney. Well, where is he going to be? But the, so they are not people who are dumb. They may be biased and the bias may overcome everything. But I think in D.C. for the January 6th ones, they'd have some really low educated people who didn't care, didn't want to be there, and they were going to find guilty no matter what. I don't think that's this jury. I mean, they're pretty intelligent. Whether their biases will overcome their intelligence, who knows?
Now, two other questions then. Alex Berenson, the New York Times reporter who has been red-pilled, is now asking the question, and he says, I don't really know the answer. He said, but I'm just kind of raising the question, should Trump just walk out? Because even he says, this is all a joke, right? This is a complete and total joke. Should Donald Trump just say, screw it? No, I'm not going to this. I'm not participating in this.
Well, it's a practical matter. If Trump can get through this one with a hung jury and so forth, it appears all the other cases aren't going to go to trial. Certainly not the case in Washington, D.C., because that's been held up on the immunity claim. Certainly not the one in Miami.
Well, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, because that one is blown apart.
And even if he's convicted, polls indicate people don't care that much. They see it as a joke. Yeah. So, okay. Second question then is, does Trump take the stand? I mean, normally you would say absolutely, but the judge has already indicated he will allow everything in the kitchen sink to come in, true, not true, everything that the prosecutors just want to accuse Trump of, they'll allow it in. So what do you do if you're, and Trump, I can imagine, would probably not be the most, he could be a volatile witness.
It's pretty bright though.
He is, yes, yes. Well, good point. If you're Trump's lawyer, what do you tell him?
Trump's lawyer, you always go no, because you don't want to let him go on there.
I kind of think he has to. I mean, does anybody out there have an opinion? I think in a case like this, he has to. I think in a case like this.
And what they'll do is as they always do, this is the trick of the lawyer. Oh, things went so great. We've won. And then when after they've been sentenced to the election.
Yeah, they point out maybe.
Maybe we should have put you on the stand. And what do we have to lose?
I think he kind of has to, in terms of he's not afraid to talk anywhere else, right? And so, and I also think Donald Trump would like to. And I think
his lawyers will like him not to. It just have their own egos. That's how, if they win, or at least he doesn't get convicted, it was all their brilliance and nothing to do with Trump and vice versa.
That's right. And from Leo, if Trump goes to jail, how many cameras will fail and guards fall asleep while the Secret Service goes to dinner? Yeah, all of them, Leo, all of them. Well, then moving on to the other thing, but you talked about a couple of good things. One is in the Fannie Willis case, which is still kind of on hold pending her whole turmoil. The Georgia Court of Appeals today agreed to hear Trump's request to get rid of her. You remember back in February, the judge said, well, okay, it's pretty clear Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade had some sort of, not besides just personal, but some financial benefits being reached as a result of prosecuting Donald Trump. And so one of them has to leave.
Well, yeah, the little guy, he's got to go. Fannie, you're set.
You're set.
Fannie, you broke all the rules. You're the main prosecutor. You're everything else.
We'll go start the dogs.
The dog's always been a Fannie Willis fan.
Fanny Willisand, but I think they've ruled.
Stop it,
dog. Sorry, guys. But the Court of Appeals ruled that they will hear Trump's motion to get rid of her.
It's called an interlocutory appeal, which means it's not the end of the case. It's unusual most of the time that you can appeal up an issue. Usually, you know, have to wait till the trial is over and you can add it to that. So the fact that they took the interlocutory appeal is great news for Trump.
Because it indicates that,
well, it's potentially
which way they're leaning.
Well, potentially, as they plan to throw Fannie, well, at least that's a possibility.
Right.
You'd much prefer, and that puts everything on hold in Georgia.
Right.
So Fannie Willis, you know, it's bad news for Fannie Willis. Now, will they in fact say, well, gosh, Fannie's great.
I think, though, again, it raises a question. If you're the Biden White House, you're probably pressuring her to, since they're coordinating everything anyway, you're pressuring her to step down because then this all goes away, right? And I bet she's like, not taking Joe's call today. You know, I'm not stepping down.
No, they're because if she goes off the case, that may be the end of it.
Okay.
Because you'd have
to. Oh, they might get an actual ethical prosecutor.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Like,
there's no such thing as that in Georgia, but it could be. In theory, there's an ethical prosecutor in Georgia.
Right. And this from Charlene, exactly. They thought they only needed 4 or 5 lawsuits. Now those are falling apart. And the one that's really falling apart is the one in Florida, where Judge Cannon yesterday basically put on hold the trial indefinitely.
Which was scheduled for May 20th.
Right. Given all of the, and she's done a great job of unredacting all the stuff. And just recently, like this week, the prosecution was forced to admit they lied. And I couldn't pull it in time. But remember the picture we saw when they raided Mar-a-Lago, when they had on the floor all of these documents, it's like top secret, that appeared as if they'd just been like thrown in the closet, right? Well, at the time we said that's clearly staged. That's a photo op, right? Well, it was even worse than staged. Those weren't even the documents that were found at Mar-a-Lago. Those were documents that they pulled from other boxes, brought to Mar-a-Lago, paper clipped together, took the pictures, leaked them to the public, and then didn't put them back together, which is tampering with the evidence, and then lied about that to the judge, right?
Well, yeah. No. It was just an inadvertent, inconsistent statement.
Okay.
That they didn't do a thing, so they did everything.
Right.
Just it's inconsistent from the testimony or the things they did before.
Yes, kind of like that FISA warrant guy who left out the word not.
He was not a CIA.
You
know, it's not prejudicial to the defendant.
And Julie Kelly, who's been doing a great job on this, explains it all. So if we could please play the Julie Kelly soundbite.
Which is more filings and responses by Donald Trump and the defense team outlining this huge revelation filed Friday night by Jack Smith that admits that they've tampered with evidence, that they have misplaced evidence, it seems like. And of course, as I wrote, they brought these cover sheets to the Mar-a-Lago raid for the sole purpose, they say, as placeholders for the classified files that they found, but for the sole purpose also of creating that stunt photo of the crime scene to make it appear that is how the documents were found in those boxes. That simply is just one more lie, misrepresentation, not just to the public, but to Judge Cannon as well. So we should have some more interesting developments this week. Last night, Judge Cannon put a hold on a very important hearing related to what classified material the defense was going to present at trial. She has put a hold on that deadline, and I suspect that she is right now preparing a blistering order about this case to Jack Smith, the recent revelations about mishandling evidence and continuing to put this case towards trial, despite what we now know, prosecutorial abuse, tampering and doctoring evidence and withholding it. All of this information from the defense.
And I think some of the things that today came out, she's scheduled a hearing on the motion to dismiss based on the fact that they never prosecuted Joe Biden or anybody else, right? Unfair prosecution. There have been several.
We know that Stormy Daniels is not her real name, right?
Right.
I didn't realize her real name was Judy Kelly because they look a lot.
Julie Kelly looks better, though. Julie Kelly looks
but very similar. I mean, yeah, it is a lot better, but.
So that's kind of
interesting.
Well,
the key to that picture is they included in the pleadings to the court. So it's not like it was just one given out to the public to fool them. It was meant to fool the court.
Right, exactly. mean, and typically, well, a judge like Judge Cannon doesn't like that. And I think
some people
are saying, well, she's just going to throw it out altogether. It's like, no,
she's got to keep on torturing Jack Smith.
I think so too. We want
Jack Smith tortured for as long as humanly possible.
She's going to keep on unredacting things. Exactly. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today. On Friday, today, thank God, is the last day of the Colorado legislative session. So we'll have some kind of wrap up, Liberty
Square. Happy wrap up. How your lives have been improved in just 90 days. You wouldn't believe all the great bills that have gone through to make you, your children, your family, a better life for all Colorado.
List of demands, you never know. And also we're going to have one of the gals, one of the ladies who has been involved in fighting. We've been talking about the Kent Theory push for jungle primary and ranked choice voting. Well, there are some counter ballot initiatives that are going to come up that have been, the titles have been okayed, and now they need to start gathering petitions and signatures. So we'll have her talk about that too. So the fighting back continues. Otherwise, that'll do it for us.
Good luck.
We'll see you on Party Friday.
Take care.